Keep going on this idea that revival is here, and we're starting to really begin to see some of the signs of it. In the media, there's two movies that have just come out. One came out in August, the other one's just about to come out in a couple of weeks. And the August movie was called War Room. What happens prior to revival? Prayer. So War Room was a movie about prayer. And then prayer ushers in the revival. There's a movie coming out called Woodlawn, and it's about a football team in Alabama, and it's about a revival that hit Alabama and that whole region through what happened with a Billy Graham crusade in Dallas, Texas, just prior to that, where the prayer preceded and the revival. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking for 50 people to join Rick Strasser, who I just showed you, the FCA director, and myself on October the 15th. It's a Thursday night. It's a preview of Woodlawn. It's over at the Town Square, I think it is, theater. And so, I need about 50 of you. Now, if 200 show up, then that's awesome, too. We'll pack that place out, but you know, just think about it, pray about it. If you want to be a part of that, it's the night before it comes out, and it just helps the Christian community who is putting on these movies to let Hollywood know we like movies like this. We want the media to portray Jesus Christ on that big screen in a powerful way, and it happens. I've already seen it. Pam and I went to an early screening, and it is awesome. It's a story I didn't even know anything about. 150 million people today are praying for Jerusalem, and I want us to join in that prayer. Bow your head right now. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love Israel. Everything we have came from Israel. We are Judeo-Christians. And we don't have anything without them, and we love them. We love our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we pray that they will open their hearts to Yeshua HaMashiach, that they will understand that their Messiah has already come. And we love you, Lord, and thank you. Be with Jerusalem today. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the mid-70s, Lemuel and Chinama Kandargi have fellowshipped at Trinity Life Center. It was then Trinity Temple, now Trinity Life Center. Chinama will no longer be attending our fellowship, and let me tell you why. Because yesterday at 4:18, Saturday afternoon, she entered into the presence of Jesus Christ. Chinama Kandargi is now with the Lord. She's surrounded by His glory. What did her heart feel? Did she dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Did she stand in your presence? Or to her knees did she fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can't imagine what Chinama's doing right now, but she is with Jesus. And so I don't know about the funeral arrangements yet. It just happened yesterday, but please, all of you that are part of Senior Adult Ministries, they never missed a SAMS meeting, and the next SAMS meeting is going to be at her funeral. So I don't know when it'll be checking on it, be talking to each other, call the church office this week. We'll try to let you know all that information. Stand up one more time. Let's honor God's word. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 12. This is so awesome. Listen to this. Who else has held the ocean in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forests and all of Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. Can you say amen to that? The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. In whom? To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down? Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. Ants, one translation says. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows on them and they wither. Can you imagine Donald Trump becoming nothing? All right, easy, easy, I know. I was just thinking about, you know, a big personality, somebody that, you know, is never going to bow. Wow. He judges the great people of the world, brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Trinity Life Center, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? He knows everything. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. How can you say, oh, Israel, that God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, add your blessing to the reading of your word today. You may be seated. Now, let's look at a portion of Isaiah 40:15 to begin. The nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. Wow. What kind of a God would be able to say that? I mean, how majestic is a God like that? When you look at all the nations of the world and their power and the ability of man. Remember when some of you are old enough to remember the Cold War? Russia could blow us up 10 times. That's how much nuclear power they had. They could destroy the United States not once, but 10 times. That's how powerful they were. But we were winning the Cold War because we could blow them up 11 times. Right? And the Bible is saying, think about all that power. Here's what the Bible says about that. The glory of this world is as a drop in the bucket, dust on the scales compared to the majesty and glory of our living God. Amen. The glory of this world, the glory of man, it doesn't even register on the scales compared to the glory of our living God. When we take into consideration the collective wisdom of 7 billion people living on this planet, it's actually something that would just take your breath away. Think of all the inventions, all the creativity, all the ingenuity. There was a man who was running the patent office of the United States in the year 1900 who said, I'm absolutely certain that everything that can be invented has been invented. He said that in the year 1900. Just this past week, NASA reported that they have proven that the planet Mars, I'm going to put a picture up there for you. It's Mars. It's horrible. You can't see that. That's where they saw the water, that there had been water there that had been running. They have proven the planet has had flowing water. Now, that is really cool. Can you imagine the collective wisdom it took to describe the landscape on another planet? Now, take all of that wisdom and all of that knowledge of man, and what the Bible's doing today, it's comparing that to the wisdom and knowledge of God. And human wisdom, by comparison, is what? Just one little tiny drop in a bucket. Okay, I'm going to try to illustrate this for you. Watch the screen. That's who we think we are. That's who we really are. Oh boy.
It's a trial by fire, Scott. Or in this case, what?
That's us right there. That's all the nations of the world. We're a drop in the bucket. All of our collective intelligence and wisdom is like that very fine, almost unnoticeable film of dust, so fine it doesn't even register on the scales that weigh fruits and vegetables. Now, come on, get God's perspective today, my friend. You need to know this because that's how powerful and full of majesty our living God is that we serve. The first few verses of Isaiah chapter 40 were designed to bring comfort to Judah, and through them to us, his church. And now, as we head towards the end of this chapter, chapter 40 of Isaiah, the words are designed to give us all encouragement and hope. And again, it was written for the people of Judah, we know that. But through them, it comes to God's people everywhere. And that's us today. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to watch as this eloquent and visionary prophet Isaiah dives headlong into these deep spiritual realities when he lifts us up into the heavenly throne room and to the majesty as we're contrasting mankind's majesty with the majesty of Yahweh God. Do I even need to say there's absolutely no comparison? A drop in the bucket is God's way of referencing just how insignificant man is apart from God. At the end of this chapter, we're going to look into, and next week we'll look into it too. It's just so powerful. And I just got to give you a little sneak preview on next week. Isaiah is contrasting the great strength of the young and mighty who stumble and grow weary. But that great verse, Isaiah 40:31, that we all know, that we just heard, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up as wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The original Hebrew says it this way, they who wait upon Yahweh, they don't just renew their strength like you would, you know, recharge your battery. That's not what's happening. Original Hebrew says they exchange their strength. They exchange their strength. That's what we need to do, friends. when you're weak and weary and tired and growing like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can handle this anymore, all that I'm going through. God, yeah, that great song that's out right now, you must really trust me to handle more than I think I can because it's rough right now. And what do? You wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will exchange their strength. So whenever you wait on the Lord, you're actually exchanging your puny little human earthbound strength for His unlimited strength and power. Friends, we need to do that today. We need to do that today. The New Living says it pretty well. We read it. It says that they will find new strength. That's not bad. Some of us came to the communion table today lacking strength. Some of us are lacking wisdom. Maybe you're here and you're struggling because you're lacking in health. What we all need this morning is His grace and His mercy. And that's what was demonstrated towards every one of us when we partook of Holy Communion. Now, communion is a form of waiting. I should really save all of this for next week, but it's just so pertinent since we partook of communion. I want you to know this. I'm putting it on the screen for you. Waiting on the Lord is not merely the impatient standing by like you're standing in line at the DMV, but it's the hopeful expectation and full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more like knowing that some great big day is coming, your birthday, your anniversary. Pastor Barbara had a birthday this past week. Be sure to congratulate her on that. Maybe your family's coming for Thanksgiving. That's going to happen for me and Pam. We're so excited. We're anticipating it. We're looking forward to it. We're going to start preparing here real soon. Maybe you're going to have a wedding coming up real soon. And while you're waiting, you know, it starts to consume your thoughts and you think about it and you plan for the big day. Communion is so special. Every one of our first Sundays of the month, because it's our way of waiting for our full salvation, for our full redemption that has been given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live by faith right now, but we wait for Him to rescue us completely from all of our sins and to bring us sinless into His heavenly presence as His spotless bride. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to happen. Waiting is important because it replenishes our hope. Now, Pam and I have never had this happen in our entire lifetime, either one of us, even with our own dads and moms. We were not there when they passed. But yesterday, the Holy Spirit allowed us the privilege, led us right into the room, Chinamakandargi's room. Her son Vic, who was raised in this church and is now one of the great pastors at Green Valley Christian Center, he was there just sobbing as we walked in because the death rattle was there and he knew she was about to go. And so here's what happened. You know, we're standing there. We're just trying to give him support. And Pam says, honey, sing something. So I just started to sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Well, while I was singing, the angels came and got her. And Vic's on the phone to his dad. And here's what Vic Kandargi says. He says, hey, Dad, Pastor Randy started singing and Mom couldn't handle it. So, man, she was out of here. She's with Jesus right now. Look at verse 27. It says, oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? The original Hebrew, why do you say, Jacob, and why do you complain, Israel? My way is hidden from Yahweh, and my justice is passed over by my God. How can you say that? Oh boy, we're going to all get nailed right here. Because Judah was saying, and they're still saying it, and to me it would seem they have every right to think this way. Lord, don't you see what's happening down here? Hello? How could you let all this happen to us, the land of Israel? surrounded by enemies. Where are you when I really need you? Have you ever caught yourself saying, you know, life is so unfair? You ever complain that the Lord should be doing a lot more to make your life fair for you? And I know I've done. I did that this week. Reminds me of Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, and he says something like, thank you for choosing us. We are your chosen people. Couldn't you choose someone else for a change? Put that picture up there. I mean, it captures it perfectly. Couldn't you choose someone else for a change? Well, we along with Judah, well, you know, Judah first, and then we were graciously grafted in. We are his chosen people. Peter says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, but sometimes it seems like God isn't watching us anymore. It's like our ways are hidden from him. Believe me, sometimes we all wish we could hide something from him, but there's just no way. No way he doesn't see everything happening in all of our lives. Oh, he saw everything happening back in Jerusalem and in Judah, and he sees everything that's going on with us. Verse 22 says that God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. Now watch this. This is really cool. Isaiah uses the word for sit, and in Hebrew, it's havosheth, hayosheth. He's describing Yahweh sitting and ruling and being enthroned over all the earth. Now, watch this play on words. The word translated people in the NLT, the New Living, it's translated inhabitants in the original Hebrew, and it's the word yosheveyah. Not Yosheveleh, Yosheveyah, which we just saw previously, Yoshev. But he adds Veyah. What's cool about this play on words is that Yahweh is saying that he's enthroned, sitting above the people who are being seated upon. Now, I know that's not good grammar, but I need to convey this is a continual sitting, so I can't put it in past tense. So he didn't sat because he's currently still seated. Comprende? It's like Isaiah 66:1, where in essence God is saying, heaven is his throne, and the people who are like grasshoppers to him are his footstool. Listen, sometimes we think that we're all that. And the perspective here is that we're basically insignificant in the grand scheme of things, yet none of our ways are hidden to him. The one who sits above the circle of the earth. He deems us important. He knows everything about us, and he loves us still. Now, show that picture, guys, of the world. This is interesting. Long before people knew the earth was round, Yahweh God downloads to Isaiah this very information. I don't know if Isaiah got it. You know, they all thought the earth was flat, like a square back in that day. Isn't it something that God didn't just placate their erroneous thinking? He didn't say that he's sitting above the square or flat earth. God, in his infinite wisdom, will always come down to our level and speak to us in ways we can understand, and he will not stoop to share our erroneous thinking. So he tells Isaiah that he sits, Yoshev, above the circle of the earth, and her inhabitants, Yoshev, are as grasshoppers. So Judah wasn't hidden from his eyes. And your way, the things that have happened to you and the things that are currently happening to you and the things that will eventually happen to you, ladies and gentlemen, none of our ways are hidden from the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please don't ever forget, God is more concerned with what's happening in us than what happens to us. Come on, let's be honest. A ton of what we're currently facing are things we've brought on ourselves through poor choices, right? Some of our circumstances, we're just paying the piper because we made a bad decision. But the timing of Jesus to rescue and comfort us is absolutely perfect. Malachi 3:3 says that he sits like a refiner of silver. He sits like a refiner of silver. Do you get that? To get real quality silver, the silversmith has to meticulously watch the silver. He has to keep it in the fire the exact amount of time for it to become completely purified. Too little fire, unpure. Too much fire, burns it up to where it's no good anymore. It'll ruin it. Now, you might think right now that he doesn't care about you and what you're going through. You might think that he's not watching, but the Bible today is very clear, and it's telling us that he sees everything we're going through, and he will come and deliver us right at the perfect time. He promises to gather us up like a sheep into his arms. Look at the next complaint from Judah in verse 27. After, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? The next complaint, how can you say God ignores your rights? The original Hebrew, how can you say, my judgment is passed over from my God? It's like they were saying, God, if indeed you do see what's going on, how could you allow all this hardship, all these difficult things to happen to me? It's as if you don't care. What's happened in my life is completely unfair. That's what they were saying. That's what we have probably said, all of us at one time or another. And Isaiah is almost giddy in his response in the next verse, verse 28. Look at this. He's like a little second grader in the room. Oh, teacher, pick me. I know the answer. Oh. And here it comes. New Living. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. The original Hebrew, do you not know? Have you not heard? The eternal God is Yahweh, the one creating the ends of the earth. He does not grow weary. He does not grow faint. There is no searching to his understanding. These questions, do you not know? Have you not heard? They're both in verse 21 and also in verse 28. The first time in verse 21, it's basically sarcasm from God to the people for thinking that if the wood they made their idol from is good, then the idol will be solid and strong and it will not fall over. And it's like God is saying, seriously? You're worried about a God who perhaps won't even be sturdy enough to stand on its own 2 feet? This time, the second time, it's in response to Judah's complaints about all that is happening to them that they think has gone unnoticed by Yahweh God and how unfair it all is. What God is doing here in a very assertive way, he is challenging the unbelief and pride of Judah. Yahweh isn't at all intimidated by the questions, but neither is he shy to respond. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Immediately following these questions in verse 28 is one of the most dynamic statements in the entire Word of God. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. Wow. Man, that reminds me of that old saying. I used to love this. You know, people would say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, you know what? God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Because he's the everlasting God. He's the creator of all the earth. What makes this verse so intense is how we find the combination of the words Elohi and Yahweh together. You don't find that all the time. But here's a scripture where you find that. And it's these two words linked and coupled together like this, carry incredible force of majesty. Don't miss this when you're reading verse 28. Then there's another word added, Olam, a third name for God. Olam is often referred to as the eternal one. So here's the idea is not like some timeless state of perfection the way the Greeks refer to it, but more like time stretching out and making progress in both directions. The covenant God of Judah is stretching and progressing forward in time, while at the same time, he's progressing backwards. Did you know that? That's awesome. That's how awesome your God is. He's not only progressing forward into time, he's progressing backwards into time. That's how big our God is. He's incredible. Yahweh is the covenant God of Judah, and now he's our covenant God. He's the covenant God of the ages. He was the covenant God of the covenant even before there was a covenant. And Judah, you still contend that Yahweh doesn't know your history? Are you serious? You mean the one who lives ages before Abraham? And I didn't say lived, I said lives, because he's still progressing throughout history backwards. It's amazing. The one who lives before Abraham and the one who will live ages upon ages after this world is all come and gone? How is it that this eternal God has no idea what's happening to you? That was to Judah, but that's to us today. Ask yourself this question. Do you really think the eternal covenant God does not know what's going on with you right now? Come on. This is the God who created all the edges of creation. He created all there is out there out of nothing. And that gets my motor running sometimes, you know. Scientists say they can clone, they can create. We'll take dirt and make it into a man. And God said, okay, that's fine, but first get your own dirt. Don't use mine. Man, I'd like to see them try that. Yahweh God is the one who created all there is from absolutely nothing. Judah, wonderful church people here today, in light of all of this, can we ever again complain or even think that God doesn't know us and what it is we've been going through? God is speaking to us in this text to both confront and comfort Judah. He says this to remind all who know of Yahweh that He knows everything and He has been there all the time. He has been everywhere all the time. He knows everything. Now, some would say, and surely this is what Judah was thinking, well, maybe Yahweh got tired. Maybe he was fatigued from exhaustion. The idea of fainting and growing weary is found in all four final verses of this chapter. Maybe Judah's thinking that Yahweh overexerted himself when he was creating the world. Or maybe he grew weary and fatigued from leading the children of Israel through the wilderness all those years. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. But that's exactly how Isaiah responded. When he says, the Creator does not ever grow weary. Not ever. There's no way. I could overemphasize this morning. God is not tired. God is not weary. God is not fatigued, and God is not overexerted. Oh, Judah, you know, they picture him all bent over, his hands on his knees, having a hard time catching his breath, asking for Gatorade so he doesn't start cramping up. Listen, our God never slumbers, ladies and gentlemen. He never sleeps. He's never even one time in all of existence even yawned. Not for a nanosecond has he ever been weary. As hard as he works to, first of all, create from nothing all that there is, and then to be completely in control of this entire universe, all work is incredibly easy for him. He never grows tired. He never grows with me. He never grows weary. Say it with me. He never grows weary. Say it again. He never grows weary. That's the God you serve. Judah wasn't saying back in the day, well, maybe, you know, this is what they were saying. Maybe he doesn't really know what he's doing. You know, maybe the reason we're still without justice in our way, maybe it's because our way is hidden from him and he really isn't wise enough to rule the universe. Isaiah responds, verse 28, have you never heard? Have you never understood? Randy Greer version, have you always been this ignorant? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak. He never grows weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. In other words, his understanding is unsearchable. And taking it a step further, he says literally, rather than unsearchable, there is no searching. There is no searching. Isaiah is expressing eternally true statements using the most powerful and emphatic Hebrew grammar possible. Even the way the sentences are structured reveal to us this morning that God's will and his plans are completely beyond human capability to search it out. So Isaiah says there is no searching out Yahweh's understanding. Do you like to watch those shows on TV that an investigator comes in after years, maybe it's a real cold case, and they've discovered DNA. And in the DNA, they are now able to prove that a certain person who's on trial really was at the scene. The other night, I was watching this show. This guy pleaded not guilty to a rape and murder charge. And then the DNA was brought to court. And then he asked for a recess, and he came back, and he changed his plea to some kind of guilty plea where it was, you know, an almond plea or something like that. I can't remember. But he did that because the DNA said there was a 1 in 7 billion chance that it wasn't him. Pretty good odds. I'm sitting on that jury, I'm thinking, I think we got him. This is our man. So, you know, people just think that we sort of evolved into the discovery of DNA. When what really happened, ladies and gentlemen, was that God allowed us, God let us in on just another portion of his incredible wisdom and understanding. And the Bible uses the wonderful words, knowledge and wisdom, and those are great words. But the pinnacle word to describe God's knowledge and wisdom is this word in Hebrew, litbunato, translated understanding. The Hebrew word understanding not only describes someone who is brilliant, but it describes someone who knows how to utilize that brilliance, how to apply that brilliance in the right way. Every time. It's like that person. You ever met anybody that also, they have book smarts and common sense? Very few. You have one or the other. And hopefully you marry the other. But God's understanding today, title of the message, Unsearchable Understanding. Our God, Yahweh, is supremely and infinitely understanding, and his understanding is so perfect and so beyond the knowledge of men and women that there is no searching out his understanding. There's no searching out his understanding. Now, check this out. Even though his understanding is completely beyond the ability of men to search out their on their own, in their own natural wisdom and knowledge. Watch this. I'll end with this. Yahweh delights and desires to reveal his wisdom and understanding to us. Friends, do you understand what's available to you? Do you have any idea who you are? I just don't think we're even anywhere on the Richter scale. I don't think we've tapped into 10% of who we are. Dave, come on up. There's an entrepreneur in Europe, and I've told you this. This is real important, though. Listen up, because I don't think anybody's ever heard this or even taken me up on this. This guy wakes up every morning. He's the number one entrepreneur of Europe. He invents things that probably we use today. And he sits in a room, very barren room, just has a chair. He has a pad of paper and a pen. And he sits there, and he has this window. He looks out, and he's going to watch the sunrise. And for hours, he just sits there, and he says, God, what were you thinking when you created the heavens and the earth? And he just sits there and he contemplates it. God, for those who wait, for those who will sit, listen, draw near, get close to him. For this man, God starts downloading ideas, and he writes them on his pad. And then he goes and he figures out a way how to take that downloaded brilliance from God. Guys, God will do that for us. I believe there are inventions just waiting. You know, would somebody please invent something that every one of us needs and make $1 billion and pay off the debt of this church once and for all? Oh, yeah, Pastor, let it be me. I'll be that person. If you ain't helping now, hon, it ain't going to be you. Let me tell you that right now. You ain't doing it when you got little. You ain't going to help us when you got a lot. But there are books that we haven't written yet. There are poems that we haven't put to the pen and paper yet. There are songs in your heart that haven't birthed yet. Why not? Well, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to guilt anybody in anything. I'm just as guilty. Maybe it's because we haven't asked. Maybe it's because we haven't sat with it. Maybe because we're so busy. Maybe because we're not willing to wait upon the Lord. Let's sing it this way. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Stand and let's sing it together.
They that wait
upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. Exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk. One more time.